Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Beck. Welcome to Fit and Full of It.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good.
We did that at the same time.
When people ask me what I do, if I say straight up, I'm an influencer, they automatically have like a connotation. So what's your reason behind working out? It's to feel good?
100%. God damn, girl, you were amazing.
Not caring, windows down, music on.
Cleaning my house. And I just play my playlist and I start going for it. I've definitely seen my neighbours looking in one time and they're like, what is she doing? But I'm like, I'm enjoying cleaning, get over it.
I think I have a bitch face. No one talks to me. Whenever I'm in Maya or David Jones, I'm like, do I smell? Because no one's actually talking to me.
Just sitting there getting this facial and she goes, so what's your skin routine at the moment? And I'm like, oh, here we go. This bitch is an idiot. I'm like, okay.
Hey guys, I'm Beck and I've got Alex with me. She's going to say hi and you're going to realise that she doesn't sound how she normally sounds. Go on, Alex.
All right. Hey guys. I really don't sound good.
She does not sound good. So it's pretty fitting that Alex has lost her voice because today we are doing an episode all about burnout.
Hell yeah.
You're obviously feeling some massive burnout. So basically, you don't have to like have burnout or have had burnout before to find any value from this episode, because it's generally when we're feeling like the early stages of burning out that we don't stop. And that's when actual burnout tends to happen and you start to experience more of those full-on symptoms. So if you're someone that has started to feel like a real struggle with just doing your daily tasks or doing your work or doing what normally gives you energy, and you're finding you're really lacking that energy, we're going to tell you our experience with burning out, the early signs of burning out, and then we're also going to help you and give you some like remedies or some helpful tips so you don't experience burnout.
For sure.
But before that, let's do a little life update. If she can speak into the mic.
She cannot speak.
Okay. Well, if you're watching the video of this, I currently have a sleeping dog on my lap because I decided it was a good idea to bring her to Pilates this morning. However, it was not. This is the second time I've tried, and she doesn't cry when she's at home. Like when she's at home, she's fine. But at the gym today, I even brought like her crate so she'd feel like safe and like in a smaller environment. I brought her a toy. She had like a half chewed lamb's ear, a little bit gross if you're vegetarian.
Ew.
Yeah, it's a little bit gross even if you eat meat, to be honest. But as soon as I went into the class, because no one else like sits behind the desk, so it's just like us in the class. As soon as I went into the class, she started like crying, and then it turned into like a bark every now and then, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna let it go, and then it turned into like consistent barking and howling. Like I've never heard my dog howl before until
this. How long was she doing it for?
Well, I only stayed in the class for about like 7 minutes because then I was just like, nah, I've had it. And then we ended up going for a walk and now she's sleeping.
She's so cute.
But she can be a little shit.
Yep.
That's all I can think of. That's a life update for me. Let's get into today's episode. So burning out and I guess how you can reduce the symptoms and what are the symptoms of burnout. So I guess I'll go into my experience of burnout first, and then hopefully Alex can talk about hers if she gets her voice back. But basically, I guess my first experience with burnout started 2021, I'd say 2021 when I experienced my worst burnout. I'm not going to say that I ever like had burnout that I was in bed for 14 hours a day, like extreme burnout, like I had to be hospitalized, because that can definitely happen. But when I was juggling uni, full-time work, full-time Instagram and coaching at F45 is when I definitely experienced burnout. And what was happening was, one, I was kind of holding myself to the standard that when I started doing all of those things, I could maintain that. And if I could do it once, I could do it again. But that's not the reality, because you start out, I guess, with heaps of energy. And if you keep doing the same thing, that's going to slowly decline if you're not giving yourself like a break or a rest. The next thing that happened to me with this was like I would be really down on myself. Like I'd be like, why can't you continue doing that? Like you're just being lazy instead of actually giving myself the rest that I needed. And then as well as that, it was basically just like consistently getting sick. Like I would get sick all the time, like such weird sicknesses too. Like I would get colds and flus and all of that stuff. But like there was one sickness that was just like madness. Do you remember when my eye got infected?
Oh my God.
But it wasn't like, yes. I thought it was like a sty, but it was like my eyelid, like the it was like a gland, it's like a gland problem in your eyelid, and I wasn't sure like if it was because I was looking at screens literally my entire day. So I would work my 9-to-5 job looking at my computer screen. In my break I'd be looking at my phone. In the morning I'd be looking at my phone, and in the night I'd either be looking at my phone or like my computer because I was doing uni work. So yeah, so my time like spent on my screen time, because it would like correlate like all the time, all the hours together spent on my computer and my phone. For some reason I had that little fucking thing set on, which was stupid because I didn't want to see that. But it would, I think one time it was like 20 hours or something, or like 18 hours per day, because that day I would have had like an assignment that I like either done an all-nighter for, or like gotten up before work to do, because I work best in the mornings. But thinking about like what I used to do, and even driving to work, because Tim worked like close to where I worked in the city, we would commute together and commute back on the way home. So he was driving and I had that time. Like I don't think I could do it if I didn't have that like commute time, because I would be posting and like editing videos in that time. And then the morning before work, I'd be doing like my computer stuff. And really my only break was doing like a 45 minute HIIT session, which is not a break. You're literally doing a HIIT session. And then after that, I'd have like no time to make breakfast, get ready and go. And basically I just wasn't, it wasn't sustainable. And it wasn't. I had to stop doing it. And fortunately, I was able to leave my job. But I guess saying that, I know some of you that are listening can't, like either your parents or you've got jobs that you can't quit for financial reasons. Like sometimes you can't leave something. So I guess it's just finding those breaks. But we'll get into the remedies of what you can do if you can't just quit like I did. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to speak about Alex's experience with burnout, or her current experience with burnout. Yeah, and she's gonna mime, because I'll put a little bit of the video in just so she's still included. The dog's head is literally on my laptop keyboard right now. She's being very cute. But anyway, so basically Alex's schedule is mental. Mm. So she obviously works at Inspire. So sometimes that can be like 3 mornings of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 mornings of the week, and she'll have like 3 classes, which is full energy. And if you're a personal trainer, or if you've been to like a group session, you know that like you don't have a good workout unless your trainer is bringing that energy. Because if you're coming into a room and it's super flat, then everyone's like, oh, that workout wasn't very good. Like you have to bring the energy, and that in itself, like just being a personal trainer in itself, is a really hard job to maintain, especially full-time. But other than that, she's also working full-time with shift work. So with the police, she's working overnight shifts and she's working crazy hours. And I feel like all the people that work shift work and like overnight shifts will know how hard it is to find a routine. Like impossible to find a routine that works, but also trying to like be healthy, be fit, like cook your meals instead of get takeaway, or like order in, or still be able to make those gym sessions, still be able to spend time with like your friends, your family, your pets, Coda, Will.
Will.
Yeah.
Bulldogs.
Will's at the very end of the line. No, just kidding, Will. That's Alex's partner, by the way. But yeah, so obviously you guys can hear that she's unwell, and that is one of the symptoms of burnout. But I do think with burnout, something does have to give. So you can't consistently keep doing what you're doing, because you're not going to always get the same result. And we actually have a little study. So we're going to talk about, I guess, the early going to the later stages of burnout. So this study was done by Winona University. Could be saying that wrong. But it speaks about the stages of burnout. And when I read this, it really resonated with me. So I hope you guys can take something from this, or maybe just resonate with one of the stages, to really like stop yourself in your tracks if you are going deeper and further into burning out. So the first stage is what they call the honeymoon stage, which sounds a little bit strange, I guess, but kind of, it really reminds me of Alex's situation, because she's kind of, how long have you been in your job? How long have you been in your job, Alex?
7 months.
Okay, so Alex has been in her job for 7 months, which is actually quite a long time, but maybe at the start of her position, and this is the same for me, I felt this, and I kind of spoke about it earlier. Basically, the honeymoon stage one of the early signs of burnout is when you first started like a job or multiple jobs or multiple things, and you have that like new energy, that like excitement and the thrill. And I'm not saying that's bad. Like, of course you want to feel that when you first start out at something. But you're almost like doing so much because you're so excited that it's, you're giving yourself like an unsustainable amount of work. Like you're working to 9 p.m. at night. You're always available to be answering emails or calls or texts when people need you because you don't want to, you know, put off that bad first impression. So you're really giving everything your all, but you're not starting at like a sustainable point. If I think about it, like relating to my job, I guess for a content creator, maybe you're a content creator or you're like trying to start an Instagram or YouTube or something like that, you start posting every single day. And if you're a content creator, posting on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram every single day, like that's not possible. It is possible maybe at the start, maybe if you've banked a few videos, but it's not possible to continue to do that long term. Like it's not. You've got to set yourself a realistic standard at the start. So basically that's the stage one. So you're not really getting those burnout symptoms yet, but you are about to experience them in the next stage. And basically that is the stage where you start getting like job dissatisfaction, work inefficiency, fatigue, sleep disturbances, or you're resorting to like escapist activities. So like eating, drinking, zoning out in front of the TV. That's something that I definitely used to do. If I ever like would come across a day off, which would be rare, but if I did, I would literally just like sit in front of the TV and just be like, oh my God, I'm just going to zone out for an entire day. And if that's something that you do now, that's really something that you need to address because you can't consistently keep doing that like with your routine. You can't just be like, okay, like you shouldn't on your weekends feel like you have to just sit in front of the TV and relax. Like you should be able to spend that time with your loved ones or with your friends. Like you should still have some energy to be able to do those things. And obviously if your parents, like you don't even have the choice to do that. So I kind of feel sorry for you guys, but but yeah, there was a quote that I heard from Jay Shetty's podcast, but it was by Abraham Lincoln. And it said, I'm going to probably butcher this, but it said, if you've got 6 hours to cut down a tree, you're going to spend the first 4 hours of that sharpening your axe. And it's a really nice quote because I guess it just is talking about like you need to have the proper tools in the right condition to be able to do work well. So if you yourself, your tool is not looked after, if you don't have that energy or those energy levels and you're declining because you're not resting, then your work output isn't going to be as good. So it really does make sense if you think about it. So really starting at that like sustainable level of work when you first start really could help you out at that stage. We're going on to stage three, which is more of the chronic symptoms. So that's like chronic exhaustion. I'm not sure if any of you might have experienced that, but that can be like up to 15 hours of sleeping per day and just not feeling like getting out of bed. I personally haven't experienced that. Have you experienced that, Alex? No, but it sounds terrible. I wouldn't want to experience that, but that goes to the stage three. And I do know some people that have experienced stuff like that. And then going on to the stage four, basically that's going into a crisis mode. So that is going, like, I guess your physical symptoms are intensifying. You're obsessing about work frustrations. You've got self-doubt. And then after that, it's like a long time burnout. So that's when you actually have physical and emotional problems and you're less likely to be called a burnout case. So you're actually developing psychological issues or physical issues. So that's like the really serious stage. So according to Winona University, that is all of the stages of burnout. So I guess just listen to that again if you need to and just kind of maybe identify where you are sitting on that scale. For me, I can kind of see myself in the balancing act stage. Not that I think that I'm burning out as a whole, but I can definitely pick up on little things that I might need a break from, especially like the creativity aspect. I do think that with my job, I have to try and be creative and come up with ideas and have like different ideas for different concepts for different videos all the time. And I find myself really struggling with that at the moment. So I guess it's trying to find like ways that I can help myself with that certain part of my life. But yeah, I guess it doesn't always have to be work related either. Like you can experience burnout in just parts of your life rather in your life as a whole, if that makes sense. So I guess that's what I mean when I'm saying that I'm burnout in my creativity aspect, but in like my relationship aspect, I'm not burnout. I would rather spend more time in my relationship. But yeah, so I guess it's just finding where you're feeling that like exhaustion or maybe you're just like, you used to really love something and you're not finding that passion anymore. And it's kind of trying to remedy that. So we have correlated a few tips that you can implement within your burnout stages or within your life if you are feeling a little bit fatigued. So for example, one of the ones that I have implemented in my life at the moment is boundaries. So boundaries is a massive thing. And I can definitely say that I do not do this ever, but I am now trying to implement it because it's just becoming a little bit of an issue, especially when you work for yourself. So if you do work for yourself, you might be able to resonate with this. There's not really like an end point of your day. Like you're not working a 9 to 5. So it's not like 5 o'clock. You log out of your laptop, you clock off, and that's you done for the day. It never really stops. So it's setting those boundaries within your schedule so you can actually have a break. And that's something that I wasn't doing. So I guess all of my work is from my phone. It's on my Instagram. It's posting, it's doing stories, it's replying to comments, it's messaging you guys. And that's all kind of considered work related. Even though it's something that's super fun, when you do it every day for work, it does become a little bit more like monotonous, I guess. And that screen time constantly being on your phone, I'm sure you guys know how like kind of draining that can be instead of being like in life, in the moment, having dinner with Tim and not constantly being on my phone. So that's something I really wasn't doing. So at this week, I've decided I'm going to finish work, depending on what time I start, either 4:30 or 5. I'm going to have like, because obviously I've got to post later on that night. So like I'll still have to go back onto my phone and press post, but I'm going to get everything ready to go instead of having to grab it from my roll, like my camera roll and stuff like that. I'm going to have it all ready to go to be posted at 6 p.m. each night. But it's going to be a cutoff time, 4:30 and 5, because I can't keep working till like 7:30 because then like some days I'm just like, no, I can't do it. I'm not doing anything. And that's just not a good habit to have, like working out. So basically at the moment, what's been happening is I've been working till like 8 p.m. some nights, or 3 days a week. I'm working from like 6 to 8 p.m. and then I'm like done. And then I will have a whole day where I do nothing. And that's just not realistic. And it's also, it doesn't feel good. So I don't want to do that. Alex has written down some of her tips for you guys because she can't speak, even though she would love to. She's literally like sitting here chomping at the bit to say something, but she's set a boundary for herself, which is no speaking. She's doing a sad face. And if you're watching the video, you might be able to see it. But basically it's being able to step back and allow yourself to take care of you. So I find that if you're experiencing burnout, especially with creativity, I find that taking a day and just having a day where you've said to yourself, you're not going to do any work. You're going to go out and experience like a new adventure, go on a hike, a walk, do anything like that, go to the beach and just like be there in the moment, then you will get some of that creativity back. Like those juices will start to flow. But if you're constantly like putting yourself in a box and being like, no, I've got to get this done on this day, like it's being too rigid with your schedule and you really won't get the creativity there. So really giving yourself like that full day off, yes. No work, yes. Do it. Do you hear Alex saying yes? She's dancing next to me right now. Other than that, something that Alex has implemented herself is like her hair and skincare regime to take some time to start looking after herself. So like for me, I do agree with that, especially like stuff that you find like monotonous and kind of time wasting, actually be there in the moment and be a little bit more, like take a little bit more time and use it as like a self-care moment for yourself. So moisturizing for me after the shower, I fucking hate it. Like, I'm like, this is such a waste of my time, but I need to do it. So I've been really like being there and being present and like maybe giving myself a bit of a massage whilst I'm moisturizing and just like, just giving myself a little bit of me time. So I really like that, Alex. Good point. Don't speak. Booking holidays in advance to actually take the break. So taking time out of your schedule to actually plan a day off and making those bookings so you actually stick to it. That's something that I struggle with. I'm a bad planner and so is Tim. We literally planned our overseas holiday like 4 weeks before we left, like, and we didn't really plan it. Like, I think we booked our accommodation the week before we left. Terrible planners. But if you do that, if you actually make those plans and make those dates, then you will stick to that holiday. So the reason we stuck to that holiday is because we had an overseas wedding that we had agreed to that we'd attend. So basically just making yourself accountable to take some time off. I mean, it shouldn't be that hard. We all want to go on holiday. And then switching off is her next one. So I guess that's quite similar to what I was saying before, having like that finish time. So even if you set a time at night, maybe 2 hours before bed, to switch off, not answer any calls, not answer any emails, maybe not go on your phone, pick up a book, maybe not even go on Netflix, or just do nothing related to work. So something that I find that I do sometimes when I'm in my switch off zone is I watch like One Tree Hill or something on Netflix or Disney Plus, which can be good, except for when they leave you on a big cliffhanger. Like that is giving me like, that is sending like adrenaline and anxiety and like all these emotions right before I'm going to bed and trying to relax. Like sometimes it obviously you can do it sometimes. Like I'm not saying don't watch your favorite shows, but I'm saying maybe just before bed, read a book, do something, do a self-care routine. Do you like your skincare or something? Because those like emotions that you get from these crazy cliffhangers can't be good for your mind right before bed. And literally I did that last night. I'm not going to lie. I watched One Tree. I'm obsessed with One Tree Hill at the moment. And I woke up because I had this nightmare that I can't actually remember what it is. They always come out of my mind. But I had to wake Tim up and be like, I've had a nightmare. Help me. So, yeah, maybe just having a break from those crazy shows every now and again. Other things that can help you is obviously sleeping your full 7 to 9 hours. So if that means that you're having to skip a workout, skip the workout. Like you do not want to be getting 5 hours of sleep because it's better that you actually get your sleep in, your 7 to 8 or 9 hours, instead of going and killing your body with a HIIT workout. Like it will be better for your health to not work out and actually sleep. And I used to think like back in my double days, like back when I would try and fit 2 F45 sessions in, that it was better to get the workout done instead of actually sleep in. But there's been studies that show that it's not better. So basically, if you actually sleep for your recommended hour, your recommended hours in the night, instead of just get up and smash your body with a workout, basically it'll support like your brain development, cardiac function, metabolism. And that's so true. I always found when I didn't sleep, I would be eating shit. Like I would be hungry all the time and it would actually take me back in my goals of health and fitness because I would just feel like shit. So sometimes it is better to sleep in instead of doing your workout. So make sure you tell your PT or trainer that next time you miss a workout. Say, well, actually, no. but other than that, some of the other tips that Alex has given us is obviously like you want to be eating nourishing foods. So really taking the time to prepare meals that have like whole foods in them instead of opting always for snacks like protein bars. And I know I'm not against protein bars, but if you're always substituting whole meals with protein bars or muesli bars, cereals, or like quick fixes to just satiate your hunger because you're focusing on work or looking after the kids or whatever it is, it's really not going to be good for your body and you're not going to have that same sustained energy throughout the day when you're not eating those whole foods. So including those nourishing foods and just implementing anything else that you have that makes you feel good about yourself So that could be like having a peppermint tea. That could be like having a face mask or just doing anything that relaxes you. So trying to implement those things throughout the day and structuring your day as well, I find really helps me. Instead of just having that crazy mind like, oh my God, I've got so much to do. You don't have to do it all straight away. Like you've got the whole work week, hopefully, unless you've got deadlines. You've got the whole work week to work through all of the things that you need to do. They don't need to be done straight away. So really like this is what I like to do. So on a Sunday night, I like to write out what I have. I like to write out personally. There's something with a pen and a paper that I really like. So I like to write it out. But basically I write down what I need to do for that week and I kind of put it into days. So I don't come to Monday and I'm like, fuck, I've got so much to do, because it doesn't need to all get done on Monday, guys. You need to prioritize and organize yourself. But instead of just writing a to-do list with all work that you need to do, actually add some stuff in that makes you really happy, that makes you feel good, and something that relaxes you. So schedule in that massage, or you don't even have to do a massage. That's a little bit bougie. To be honest, I never get a massage, but you could do a massage yourself. You could do a day where you take your dog for a walk on your lunch break and you don't sit at your desk and eat. You could go to the movies one night with your partner, put the work emails down. You could schedule in cutoff times where you finish work. You could give yourself a dedicated sleep in day where you could sleep longer than 8 hours because you're not going to the gym. So really just adding those things into your day to make you enjoy it more. And you might think that's counterproductive. It's like, well, now I have all of these things to do. But trust me when I say that doing the good things will help you and make you be so much more productive with the more like work-related mundane things, I guess, in your week. So really implementing those things have really helped me, and organizing your week on the Sunday night before or whenever your week starts, because obviously you could be like Alex and be doing shift work. All right, guys, we're going into our truth cleanse segment. It's a little bit sad because Alex is next to me, but she can't have a verbal reaction. I can see her face, though. And if you don't know what the truth cleanse segment is, basically we get you guys to send in confessions to our Instagram and we answer them. Well, we share them to our audience here. So basically you're getting like a confession or a regret or something that you really want to get off your chest, but it's all anonymous. So we love that. And they're generally very entertaining. Last episode, they were freaking crazy. Like, I honestly listened back to that. And Tim also heard about the pooing thing. And he was like, are you serious? But anyway, you guys have to go back and listen to those because they were mental. But this week, the confession is, and I don't have it on me, so it's a little bit of a, what's it called when you're quoting someone?
Oh.
You know when you're like restating a quote? Verbatim.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a verbatim, but basically the confession was that I am going out and gambling and buying heaps of drinks, but I'm using my business card so my wife doesn't see what I'm spending the money on. And because you can't buy personal items, with a business card, he's just popping his money from his normal card onto his business card. So basically she can't see that he's going out gambling and being on the pokies and buying all these drinks because he's using his business card. Like, I mean, it's kind of genius. Like, I'm like kind of impressed with like this, the thought behind it. And I'm sure a lot of people do that. Like, maybe if I bought like a piece of furniture and I didn't want to tell Tim how much I spent on that piece of furniture, I'd like kind of hide it from him. But I also probably wouldn't at the same time. If it comes to like gambling, like that kind of, I don't know. I'm not a big gambler myself.
No, neither.
No. So if I like, and I never win. I think I gambled $20 last week on the pokies, like just because my friends were there, because we were having drinks. But I lost it all, yeah. And then that's me done.
That's
like if I win, I would put more money on it. But at the same time, I just feel like maybe just lay back on it a little bit.
Yeah.
And if your wife can't get that, like if you're doing it all the time, and then I get that she has a problem with it, but she shouldn't have a problem with it if it's once every so often with your mates. But if it's all the time, maybe maybe let's just have a little bit of a break from that. Yeah. Let's just chill out a little bit. Because I'm sure there's better places you could be spending your money. Am I right?
Probably.
Probably, yeah. Oh, your voice is back a little bit.
It's coming.
Oh.
Hello.
But that is all we have for you guys. If you do want us to tell everyone your truth cleanse or confession here on the pod, please submit them to us. We do anonymous links on our stories all the time. You can find
them.
Yeah, we love them.
So fun.
If you want to find the link where you can submit those, they are on our story at fitandfullofit.pod on Instagram. We also have a Facebook page, Fit and Full of It, the podcast. So make sure you come and follow us there. And yeah, hopefully we'll see you in the next episode where Alex can actually talk. I'm sorry you've had to listen to my bloody voice this whole entire time. Hazel's getting very restless at this point. Aren't ya? All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye. We used to jump around in a forest. We used to jump around in a forest.